Had a lot of Penn State guys at the combine. Was able to sit around and watch a little bit of it. A few days I wasn't able to, but good showing, good amount of guys go out there and do their thing.
There's one guy who a lot of people have talked about, but I want to continue to highlight personally, who I thought did a damn good job. But what are your highlights from the Penn State guys that you have that you want to talk about? A lot to be said, a lot of positives, some negatives, but the negatives got a lot more eyeballs and attention than I think the positives did. And, you know, unfortunately that's part of the deal. But I just think, like, chill pill, let's evaluate and see what happens. And ultimately, you know, week 3-4, you know, I think we'll really see what type of trajectory he's on from a development standpoint.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
Welcome back, folks. No, I promised you guys some guests. I apologize. Having some communication issues and some scheduling issues, but maybe we'll get another quarterback on here to talk about this. But for now, you're stuck with me and my counterpart on the defensive side of the ball, the quarterback of the defense, linebacker Brandon Bell. B, we got another week, another episode. I'm excited about this. We're going to chop it up, do a little combine talk, do a little competition talk heading into spring ball, and then ultimately wrap it up with our season recap with the quarterbacks. But before we get to that, dude, what's been popping? How you been?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Like you said, another week back at it. You know, spring showers are in. A few rainy days, but we had some football action. We had the combine. We got free agency news. So although football is done, you know, the news cycle is still going. So it's been fun to keep up with. Had a lot of Penn State guys at the combine. Was able to sit around and watch a little bit of it. A few days I wasn't able to, but good showing, good amount of guys go out there and do their thing. Besides that, man, just living, trying to figure it out still.
Dude, I'll tell you what, yeah, this rain's got me feeling some type of way. It's interfering with my range sessions, trying to get the swing right for golf season.
Right.
Dude, but yeah, the combine, I mean, honestly, sitting down and watching the combine is so tough. They do such a good job now with coverage, cutting it up, and you get the recognizable parts. I know they're, you know, everyone's talking about Joe Milton throwing a 60-yard bomb on the go routes, their strategy behind that. It doesn't really translate, but, you know, it's cool to watch.
Gun show.
But, you know, speaking on that, like you said, we were pretty well represented as always. Give me your thoughts. I think there's one guy who a lot of people have talked about, but I want to continue to highlight personally, who I thought did a damn good job. But what are your highlights from the Penn State guys that you have that you want to talk about?
Man, I think most all of our guys really perform well. You know, I'm sure there's a few performances that guys would like to redo or, you know, wish they could have done better at. But what'd you say?
So that's what Pro Day is for.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously the combine gets a lot more hype, it's a lot more pressure, but I think the guys really perform well. I mean, just to name a few, I think Theo has had a steady, gradual incline, I believe, in his stock, which I don't think it was low to begin with, but I think he's done everything he was supposed to do at every stop of the way, Senior Bowl, combine, Pro Day, we'll see what he does, probably just run some routes, look pretty and all that, but he performed excellent. You know, only every time I hear his name pop up on TV, it's only good things. And I think he'll sneakily jump up on people's tight end boards. I'm not sure who they have number one right now.
Yeah.
But I think I could see him sneaking in there.
He was my winner. It's just, you know, he was dealing with such a deep room, and like Tyler Warren was getting what he was getting, and he was getting fed the ball. He was kind of the hot hand, but I love Theo's game. I think it's going to translate so well to the NFL level. Steady Eddie, Like, you look at his body type, his ass is almost at his shoulders. Like, he's just like, he's high, strong, twitched up. You know, you saw it with his 40. His three cone was phenomenal with the short area quickness. And that's, I mean, you could talk about that, like having to match up with a guy running, you know, the short area, like jerk routes, stick nod routes. Like, when you got a guy who's that much quicker, but can also play the position in line, meaning, you know, run game effective, all that, it just adds to the, it adds to the conundrum of like a really, really good tight end. And the tape may not be there. And I think it was more so from a lack of like opportunities. And when he did get it, like the tape is there when he did get the opportunities. I think the kind of those hidden attributes that I was talking about in terms of ability in the run game is there a lot more consistently. And the evaluators know that. And I think he could be a steal. Before we get to the next topic, we're going to take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm going to stand on the table here and say this. Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef crafted, dietitian approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at The Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meals, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So, if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he will be. And like you said, that short area quickness is probably where he'll make most of his money. But obviously the vertical threat of the, you know, straight line speed is always a thing, you know, whether it's, like you said, end line, slot, running pass, linebackers, and probably some safeties too, or getting a step on them. I won't say running pass, but getting a step on those guys will be big. And then in between the lines, that short area quickness will pay dividends as well. And on the opposite side of the ball, his counterpart, Chop, I mean, he blew it up. I think he only, same with Theo, did what he was supposed to do. He only solidified his first-round prowess, I believe. Where that is, you know, that's a chuck in the dark. But I think he's locked for first-round talent, bend. I see a lot of comparisons. I really don't agree with a lot of comps, you know, ESPN or whatever football talking heads put out there, but I think he'll explode on the scene as an edge rusher for whatever team picks him up.
The one thing they talk about is just lack of like ball, like just playing experience for him. But I mean, at the end of the day, like when you're drafting somebody like that, especially at that position and the way defense is being played now, just insert athlete and create mismatch, and he's going to win a lot of those. You know, and I think there's plenty of teams out there that have done that in the past, and he'll obviously continue to grow with the more reps that he gets. And like, that's the interesting part, right? Like the upside and the potential is through the roof, and the baseline, there's not much risk in his baseline because there's really no gaps in him from an athleticism standpoint in his game.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. And then I think my kind of not surprise, but you know, sleeper pick was Daquan Hardy, man. I think he took full advantage of getting that combine invite. You know, it was our third corner, our cornerback number three, to get the invite. And outside of his maybe, you know, lacking stature, which I think is fine. We know plenty of guys in the league that if you can be sticky in coverage, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But busting out a 4.39, 4.38 is going to get you a lot of opportunities. And I think he took full advantage, was top. I think definitely top five in the cornerbacks in the 40s, broad, vert, all that was just showing his explosiveness. And I knew he was fast. I'm not quite sure I knew he was 4.38 fast or 4.3, sub 4.4 fast. But kudos to him. And I think he'll be able to chill out on pro day as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And the other thing with Daquan, the special team value that he brings. Mm-hmm. Like people don't talk about that enough with draft prep, I think, but guys who've been in it, you know, like when it comes to cutting down to that 53 man, and there may be a point of like, I don't know. If you got juice on special teams, massive, massive plus and attribute check for you when it comes down to, you know, ultimately earning a spot on a 53. And his return ability is also, you know, game-changing, electrifying. And, you know, I think that, that will bode well for him when it comes down to the end of training camp. But, you know, other than that, man, like – Combine always cracks me up. Did you go to the combine, me?
No, I was not invited. And part of me, obviously everyone wants the opportunity to showcase their talents, but part of me was okay with it because I knew my body would have got the medical side.
Oh yeah.
I would have got picked and prodded apart. I went undrafted either way, but it definitely, I don't think it would have helped my case.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, that thing is a grind, dude.
Yeah.
Like, as awesome as it is a freaking grind. Like, because I was an underclassman, so, and it was before they were letting underclassmen participate in any of, like, the senior bowls or bowl games or whatever. So, a lot of guys got the opportunity at those games to knock out a lot of the vetting from a meeting standpoint, because at those games, they get obviously ample time with whoever's the coach of each team and that organization. But then, after practices and stuff, like there's media obligations, so on and so forth, but they fill a lot of that time with interviews and getting to know the prospects a little bit more on a deeper level. I didn't have that opportunity. So my combine was just mind numbing conversation door to door. You know, you have that like 15 minute speed dating. I think I had like 12 or 15 of them in a row one night without a break, just going literally from door to door to door, like introduced to the whole organization. Like it was, it was such a grind. And then the medical side, like you said, you know, by the time you got to the field work, it was like the end of the whole thing. Right. And you were just so fired up to just get it done, get up out of there and get on the plane and go back to getting ready for pro day. It was a grind. Definitely like a great opportunity. Very thankful for it. But like when you talk about the whole picture, man, a very, very tough 3 days in Indianapolis of all cities.
Don't tell that to McAfee.
Yeah.
He's loving it all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's great, but not a good steak classes. I'm a big steak guy, so.
Yeah, exactly. You get a nice center cut ribeye or something. Mm-hmm. What's your take on, as you say, you know, you're a QB, a young QB that went, invited to the combine, did your thing. What's your take on a lot of these QBs, these top guys that decided not to throw, not to participate, only doing the interviews and such?
Yeah, I mean, it's so like – I think it's so individualized to that person. Like Caleb, for example, there was a big stink about him not throwing, but like he had the tape, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, what you look like in shorts doesn't really matter. You know, turn on the tape and Caleb Williams pops out. So for me, I'm sure some people are going to make a stink about it. Like, oh, you didn't want to go compete. You didn't want to do this. Like for me, I had good tape, but I didn't have great tape. And like, it was an opportunity for me to stand up next to the other guys that were considered top guys. So like, I was going to jump on that no matter what, but you know, for a guy like Caleb, there's really only downside to that. You know, like someone would have nitpicked if he missed a dig or something like that. Yeah. It would have been a big thing. Like no need for him to do that. He'll go into his pro day pretty zeroed in on the two or three teams that are going to be at the top of the draft board, looking to draft him, and gives him a little bit more time to evaluate and have conversations and then ultimately perform for the few that he wants to. And I think that was a good move. And like I said, I think overall, like the takeaway is it's so case by case. You know what I mean? Guys who have upside, guys who have the ability to go and do some wow things. Joe Milton, like we talked about, huge arm, the ability to like drop back with no tempo, wait for the receiver to get 30, 40 yards down the field and throw it another 30, 40 yards past him. Like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? And obviously viral clips, all that stuff. Does that necessarily mean that Joe Milton's tape justifies a first round grade or a second round grade? I don't know. I haven't dove that deep into his game, but to me, he had everything to gain. Like Caleb Williams had everything to lose. And you know, it is what it is. I think there's a lot of media hoopla around it, but You know,
the same go for QB, you know, 2, 3, 4, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, those guys. You could probably make the same case.
I mean, I think you can make the same case. And some of those guys did decide to throw, some of those guys didn't. It is what it is. JJ, great opportunity for him to do it and showcase some more things. You know, won a national championship, but really wasn't asked to go win a bunch of games throughout that tenure. They had such a great run game and they could lean on it and a phenomenal defense. So great opportunity for him to show what he could do. But yeah, I just think it's such, again, I think it's just such a case by case basis, and you really need to evaluate. It's not so much an evaluation of like for GMs and decision makers. I think it's more of a media outlook evaluation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that.
Like, what type of noise and what type of hype do you want coming into the back half of the draft process?
Right. No, yeah, I understand that. And a lot of guys, like you said, some threw, some didn't. Shoot, I've only been hearing J.J. McCarthy's name. I'm sure Penn State fans hate it, but his name has only been on the rise to sneak into that QB, maybe even 2, 3 slot, which I'm not sure if I agree with, but they say his upside is high. So we'll see how that goes. I know Penn State fans are rolling their eyes hearing that, but
I know,
like you said, kid won a national chip. He Harbaugh is, you know, said he was the best player in college football. So you know, things like that, you can't necessarily argue.
Are you paying too much for health insurance? Too busy to read long, complicated policies? Well, guess what? Here at The Pocket, we got a solution for you. Mahdi Health. Patrick Mahdi, former letterman. He's doing a fantastic job in this industry. He leverages years of expertise to build a customized health insurance policy for you and your needs. Individual plans, family plans. Patrick ensures you get the best protection for your health and budget. Mahdi Health, one broker, endless solutions. Now offering up to $500 cash bonus for every customer referral. So quit overpaying for your health insurance. Visit MahdiHealth.com to schedule a free consultation with Patrick himself. Yeah, I mean, JJ, like I kind of what I touched on, it was such a good opportunity for him. Like at the end of the day, it was a good opportunity for him. And like I said, when you look at it, he could only gain positivity from it because he was kind of teetering on that thing. And that's where the evaluation just goes much deeper than gameplay, you know? And like I said, you know, it's shorts and t-shirts.
What's your, I have two more takes on this combine topic. First is going back to Penn State, speaking of guys throwing, have a chance to throw. Yeah, our guy Trace, you know, I'm not sure if this has always been the case with the combine, but given kind of free agent guy opportunities to throw, and I'm sure speak to scouts and maybe get more eyes on them throughout the free agency process. But our guy Trace was out there throwing. There was a big, video of him throwing to Theo, and people just, you know, Penn State fans eating it up, of course. Like, oh, this would have been fun to watch. Yeah. But I thought that was cool. He was out there. I'm sure he was shaking a lot of hands and meeting people. Hopefully, you know, keep those opportunities coming.
No doubt, dude. I mean, I think that's – pretty sure that's how Tony Romo got his gig. He got in, got invited. He wasn't in the league at that point in time, but, you know, similar type of situation – you know, really didn't have a bright prospect in terms of draft process or even being picked up as a free agent, and was able to go out there and do some things and ultimately turned a career out of it. So any of those opportunities, I think guys should take full advantage of. And it's an evaluation process. And, you know, when you're trying to fight, get back off the couch, you'll take about anything you can get.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'm speaking from experience, you know what I mean?
A chance to get out there slinging a little bit. You know, show what you're up against in the draft class against the rookies. But I also want to add, I mean, there's a lot of performances, and I didn't realize that it was open to the public now, or fans, to at least a certain capacity. When the kid ran the 4.22, the kid broke the record from Texas.
Oh, yeah.
He's a stud. I think he can actually ball, not just a fast guy. That was cool to watch. But, yeah, when they showed the crowd, I mean, people were – it was like the back half and the end zone was filled.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there was a lot of fans there.
You could hear a fucking pin drop. It was the most eerie thing. Like, you're out there working out. I'm sure it was probably similar to playing during COVID. Like, I mean, I couldn't even imagine that. But it was like, you could hear a damn pin drop in that stadium. You know, you're running a 40 and it's like dead silence and you just feel like you got a million eyeballs on you because you do. And no voices behind it, which is strange.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it helps guys. I mean, I know for me, like you said, I can't imagine playing in an empty stadium during COVID. So, you know, we're all entertainers to a certain extent, football, crowds involved, a little more noise. They run a little faster, you know, flex the arm a little harder, yeah, things of that nature. So I like that aspect of it, but I fear for the future of like the spectacle of which it will become moving forward. You know, I'm not sure what else they could do, but yeah, before you know, we may have a camera on the meeting rooms and things like you said, talking to guys and things of that nature.
I know. Well, and that's the funny thing is like the combine has even gotten away from going back, you know, when I was going through it, even previous years, like the more it's become publicized and televised, it's gone away from like the core of what it was. And that is about getting to know the player and getting to evaluate them on the field and getting a feel for it. And like now it's just, there's so much production involved in it. It's more of a gamesmanship and a moneymaker. And, you know, that's what sucks because you're, I mean, to an extent you're messing with people's careers and like, it almost needs like there still needs to be some sanctimony or there still needs to be some like sacredness with it. You know what I mean? And just the evaluation process. And I don't know if we're going to get that to your point. I think we're on a slippery slope to just more and more exposure and putting everything out there, which, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, whether it's the arm, showing off the arm talent, the 40s, the broad jumps, I mean, it's all spectacle. Shoot, I saw, I'm not sure if this is a new thing either, the miles per hour gun behind the QBs throwing at the pad. Did you do that?
Was
that
they have some of it. I don't even know. Yeah, but we did that.
And I do see, I guess I see some people are like, oh, this has no trans, no rollover, but I can see where, when you got to put zip on the ball over the middle tight window, where I guess that could, you know, mean something, but.
Metric guys, you know.
62 miles.
When I was coming out, I'd have been fired up about it. But now, you know, I don't think there's too much. I don't think into it, but.
No, yeah, but shoot, man. Congrats to all the Penn State guys that went out there and balled out. Either way, tremendous opportunity. Theo, Daquan Chop, Kalen King, our guy Curtis Jacobs went up there, had himself a good day as well. I think he beefed up a little bit. It looked like to me, I'm not sure if he played at 240, but still ran a good 40, was top five. Olu ran a nice 40 for the big fella. I think he pulled up, got injured, and I think that was it for the rest of his day, but Adisa as well, and Caden Wallace, man. Just congrats to those guys. Johnny Dixon was banged up, didn't get a chance to perform. But kudos to those guys. We'll be looking out for all of them. Maybe get into a little draft, topics later on down the line. But
yeah, once it gets closer, I think it's definitely something we should dive into. But yeah, I echo that sentiment. You know, great opportunity to take advantage of it, live in the moment. You know, good stuff. So with that, let's transition over now to Penn State. You know, we're getting through the survival of winter workouts, as we've said in the past, and we're kind of on that. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's spring ball's coming up, and you know, there's some position battles that are obviously coming up. There's some position changes that are creating opportunity for some guys. You know, that we've highlighted with Abdul Carter moving to DN. Giving that linebacker room a little bit of a void to fill, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have a unique perspective on this in terms of my battle that I'm really looking forward to. I wouldn't even consider it a battle. I'm just going to say a dynamic I'm interested in watching. But what do you got, B? Do you got any battles that you're going to zero in on? You know how spring ball is. Maybe give the folks a little bit of a look into like what spring ball is about from a program standpoint as well.
Yeah, man, it's a chance. I mean, this spring may be different than the last few with so many changes as you just spoke on. It's going to be, you know, detrimental to the success of this team, not just this season, but, you know, leading up, assuming that, you know, these coordinators are here to stay. a lot of young guys ready to step up into, you know, prime positions moving forward the next 2-3 years. And this could be a springboard, man. I'm very much looking forward to it. Obviously, me being B, who I am, linebackers, you know, you mentioned Abdul moving to edge. And, you know, I was thinking about this over the weekend. You know, I heard some Michael Parsons, you know, his free agency tag and all that, you know, stuff that's going on. I think they tagged him as a DN, not a linebacker. And there's been a lot of conversation about that the past year. Where is he most effective? Blah, blah, blah. And with the Abdul Carter move, I kind of lean to that sentiment of I'm not sure how much I love it because he was such a force sideline to sideline. And I thought he was only going to become even more of that force. And obviously, we don't know what they have in store. I'm not sure if he'll be, you know, singularly at the DM position. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I still would love to have such an athlete kind of roam the middle, play at all three phases, as I've been saying the last few months. The kid is an ultimate talent. And so that edge position, along with the linebackers of what young guys will, you know, make those strides to be a starter down in and down out. I'm looking forward to watching that development. And then the edge, man, both edges with Abdul. There's so much talent. Vanover, there's a lot of young guys. Fisher, so many guys, I can keep going, that have what it takes. So as we've said before, competing, Deion Barnes getting those guys right to see who gets, you know, the starting snaps at least will be fun to watch.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I think there may be something up their sleeve with Abdul. They're moving him to DN. I think that there's the potential for a structure shift. Might stand him up a little more. Mm-hmm. Might play that like 3-4 hybrid type stuff, especially with Devon Elise coming back. I think he'd be a problem at nose, but just with his fast twitch and he's still big enough and strong enough to hold, you know, double teams and things of that nature. I don't know if it's going to be like a full on identity switch, but more so on those passing downs, you know, second and longs, third and medium pluses. I think it gives them a little bit of a different presentation, possibly some blitz presentation that they like. And then on the back end, you know, being able to get creative and disguise some things a little bit more rather than, you know, the basic structures that can kind of tip off pressures when they're coming and such. So, you know, again, having an athlete like that at that position, I'm sure they're still going to get creative ways to allow him to play in space and be a difference maker sideline to sideline. But I do enjoy the opportunity for him on those pass downs to really pin his ears back and go and just, you know, see ball, get ball type shit. It's going to be fun. He's got an opportunity to do some really good stuff with that.
Yeah, for sure. That closing speed is, can't teach that. Those are things you cannot teach. You can drill it as much as you want. You either got it or you don't.
For sure. And with that, you know, the one I'm really looking forward to be, you know, it's a topic we're going to get to, but I think it's just the dynamic in the quarterback room. With Drew and Bo and, you know, the Ethan Gruckmeyer kid coming in who was highly touted. They have Jackson Smolik, who is also, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Sorry if I screwed that up and butchered it. I'm not a linguist, but, you know, it's a deep room. There's a new coordinator. Obviously, Drew's the guy going into the season. He's the guy going into spring ball. But I just think the dynamic with Bo and the way that he played last year when he got his chances, the type of juice that he brought. I'm just really intrigued to see how each of these guys benefit from the competition from the guy behind or next to or however you want to lay it out. Because as we know, iron sharpens iron. And with no one really having a head up in terms of like the system and understanding it and things of that nature, it's going to be really cool to see who pushes who, what comes out of it. Do more packages come for Bo? How does the whole thing shake out at the end of it? And I think that's going to be a really cool, interesting thing for the program and specifically that quarterback room, just in terms of the evolution and kind of what is bred from that competition at its core. Because at the end of the day, every day is an opportunity to compete, right? Whether a guy is going to be anointed or not, or however the dynamics work. And I'm not making any suggestions. I'm not making any assumptions about that thing, but You know, surface level, Drew's obviously the guy. As I've said, that's the only assumption that I'll make. But the ability to come in and push each other and, like I said, have a new coordinator, a new face, new voice, new flair come in, I'm really intrigued to see what comes out of that and what ultimately is implemented and leveraged on Saturdays on a consistent basis from that discovery. And to your point, that's what spring ball is about. It's about reps with young guys. It's about discovery. It's about trying things. It's a little bit of self-scout. And then ultimately you get the spring game and it's this whole thing. But spring ball is about a lot of that. It's about development and depth. It's about development with now with the two new coordinators, development and at least the baseline of how you want to go into training camp, and then getting really starting that crescendo and that build into week one. But that's where I'm looking.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, you and, you know, 100 million other people for sure.
Yeah,
I think we all are.
It's the obvious, but it's also, I'm not looking at it in the obvious way. Like, I think people really want it to be like this, like full-on, full-fledged battle. I don't think it's going to be that. But what I think it's going to be is a really cool behind closed doors dynamic that is going to breed some really good things out of all those guys, as long as they decide to stick it out and take the opportunity for what it is.
Right. And I think what comes with that and what comes out of that room that you're speaking of will only reflect amongst the rest of the team. You know, obviously there's competition everywhere, but there's no competition. And we talked about it with you, your first year, and with Trace in those years of just seeing the energy come out of that room. You know, when those guys, you guys are the leaders, quarterback's the leader of the team, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to be or not. When the energy is spewing out of that room, it's only going to overflow into the offense as a whole, the O-line, RBs, tight ends, you know, you name it. So, like, as you said, it'll be fun to watch that high energy. From everything that I've seen and reading about Coach Kadonecki, it's going to be kind of high octane. So, as I've said, we say it every week, that confidence, whether it's in the receivers, everyone has a lot to prove. And, you know, no one's going to necessarily lose or get a job in spring ball. But as you said, it's a great baseline to attain some of that trust from the coaches and your teammates. But it's in the playbook, you know, knowing where you're supposed to be. There's so many, I always tell people, football is a very simple yet complex sport. The routes are simple, but as you know, what's the depth of this route that the coach wants it to be at this time? So forth and so forth. So developing some of those little things will pay big dividends for the QBs, for the route runners, for everyone. And then defensively, you know, getting to a point where you're comfortable enough to pin your ears back and just play. If we can get closer to that in spring ball, we're only, you know, bounces forward come training camp, and then we're cooking with grease at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's ride this wave, man. So looking back at the season, specifically at the quarterback position, I want to start here. I think the positives with what came out of it, like at the end of the day, Drew threw what, 26 touchdowns, like two interceptions, which is phenomenal. Took care of the football. I know it was a point of contention. People wanted to see him take more risks, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, you don't turn the football over. You put your team in a better position to win the ball game. You win the turnover margin battle, win the time of possession battle. You're probably going to be in a good position come the fourth quarter to ultimately win the ball game. I think his operation from, and I've talked about this consistently, 15 yards down is really good. I think he's accurate. I think he distributes the ball. He has no problem taking checkdowns, which is a lot harder to coach than it is to coach somebody to start taking more risks.
Right.
Having that innate ability, that clock come into your brain, being like, hey, I got to get this ball out. I'll take 5 yards. I don't care. Fourth and two, I'll punt it, add 5 yards to the punt, whatever. The ability to have that in your game and ingrain that in your game is huge. Now, like I said, I'll kind of shift this over to the – and I think ultimately as a first-year starter, winning 10 ball games is great. Being able to, you know, get a feel for what it really is. Like, there's a big difference between being the flash-in-the-pan guy that comes in and, you know, there's really no downside because you don't got to answer it too much. to being the guy that ultimately good, bad, high, low, super high, super low, you got to kind of ride the white wave, be even keel. And whether you know or not, your reaction to your point is going to kind of reverberate throughout that locker room and probably drag into Monday and Tuesday's practice and, you know, being able to pull guys out of that and stuff like that. I think all that's a great experience and a great learning curve for a guy. And no matter how much you talk about it, no matter how much it's preached, until you live it and do it, it's much, much more difficult than anybody can make it seem. So yeah. I thought there's obviously some things I thought he could have done a little bit better, being critical and having been in those shoes and understanding what goes into it. But I think ultimately, having talked to the kid a few times, getting a feel for his DNA and what he's made of, he definitely took it in the right manner, right? And he digested it, evaluated it, made the corrections, and I think is working on continuing to make those corrections and different angles and different ways to do it. And I'm excited to see his first opportunity in spring to be able to showcase those, right? Now, on the flip side of the coin, you know, the one thing I was very relatively highly critical of is just his ability to give these guys chances when he starts pushing the ball down the field vertically. Not necessarily take like errant shots, but be more accurate in the sense of like knowing where to place the football, where it keeps it out of harm's way. And sometimes you have to have balls of steel and still put it in harm's way, but trust your guy to go make a play.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, when he's throwing those vertical routes, when he's throwing goes, when he's throwing posts, a lot of times he either hit it or he missed by a pretty wide margin, 5-6 yards, whether overthrow, out of bounds, whatever. And those are the things that you can work to dial in. It's pretty much reps and feel. And
yeah,
he got those live game reps now, and now he just needs to continue to apply in practice and then go from there. But I think that's a big improvement he can make. And then secondly, I think just his attitude, like having more of that kill in him when you saw it in the fourth quarter against Michigan when he's going and driving, like his shoulders are down. He's still making plays, but there's no real like urgency. There's no like chest out alpha dog that came out. Right. I think that his ability now, year under his belt, a lot of eyes, a lot of visibility, guys in the locker room believe in him. His ability to now kind of poke his chest out and show a little bit more than just that rosy cheek, just even keel kid, show a little bit of that kill. I think that'll pay dividends in big games for him. I think it'll pay dividends for the team, not just him. So, like, those are really my only two critiques of Drew. And obviously, a new system that could help with both of those things. and the onus, you know, will fall on Drew to take advantage of the opportunities when they happen. But then also, Coach Kaltenecki and finding ways to put him in the best positions to be successful. And that's the one thing I was critical of last year when they did start trying to push the ball vertically. There wasn't a lot of flavor, flash, or flair. They kept trying to do the same thing and expect different results. And it was, you know, it was just, it was putting Drew in a tough spot. It was putting the receivers in a tough spot and ultimately cost the guy his job, I think, in some ways. So, you know, really excited for where it develops. I think the good far outweighs the bad. Yeah. And it's just tough with all the media pressure, all the eyes, all the armchair quarterbacks throwing their opinions on it. But a lot of the success this year is going to ride on him, and he's battle tested now. And I'm excited to see what he shows during spring. And excited for him with the opportunity. I'm not going to make any bold predictions or anything like that, but he's got a fantastic opportunity ahead of him. And I think a lot of the corrections and the direction that he can make to his impact on the team is going to be from a making plays when the lights are brightest and then also just kind of an attitude change. Like let it hang, man. Go and compete. You're playing pickup basketball. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, we were in that basketball class. We almost got in like 4 or 5 fights. You, me, Jordan Smith. Yeah, I almost punched Jordan Smith like 4 or 5 times. I think I did shove him one time pretty good because he was just being an ass.
Move.
But like, it's just like a little bit of that. Like, let it show, man. You know what I mean? Right. At the end of the day, you're playing a game. You're competing. You're competing with your guys. Like, let it show. Who cares what the media says? If the guys trust you and they know it's coming from a right spot, like, let it fly, man.
What a hang, man. You said it. And, I mean, we talked about it towards the end of the season. I mean, the kid, this goes for anyone, any young player, you don't know what you don't know. And it's okay, like you said, coming in and scrap minutes and five-star quarterback. And partially it's our fault, the media and the fans' fault in this microwave era of we want instant success. Oh, he played a little bit. It's five-star. We should win a national championship. He should throw for 4,000 yards, all that hoopla. But that's not how it works. And we saw that. And as you said, it's going to be on him, this team, Coach Franklin, the coaching staff, and really the whole community as a whole to kind of, you know, lay this thing out as far as this is what we have to do to help him. And then he has to take the onus to take those critiques you said. Hopefully he's critiquing himself harder than anyone else is critiquing him, you know. And then rep it. I mean, the one thing I'm big on when you talk about the deep ball accuracy and things of that nature is, and I mean, it's a part of football. Every team that I've been on, whether it's in the league, little league, high school, practice is so geared towards the offense. Sometimes I feel like, and we've said this before, things may look too pretty in practice. So when game time comes, it's not going to look like that. The throw may be there, but it's not going to be there in the way it looked in practice where it's just a spot throw. He runs under it. It's pretty. So to your point, it's going to be sticky coverage. And you got to put the ball in opportune, you know, space. Yeah. And then the guys on the receiving end have to go and make plays. That, I mean, I know quarterback gets a lot of pressure and the receivers got a lot of slack, tight ends. But at the end of the day, everyone has to go out there and be a playmaker. The same way we talk about Drew puffing his chest out and being that guy, which is definitely needed. Everyone else has to do the same thing. They have to believe they're the best player to ever play the game down in and down out and to beat your guy across from you. And when that happens, you know, the pressure will be eased off of Drew a little bit. You know, the running backs we talk about, I think they are able to do that already. Yeah. As young guys, they stepped on, we're able to do that.
Before we get to the next topic, we're going to take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm going to stand on the table here and say this. Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at The Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meal, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend them.
I'll tell you what, the point you said, though, about that, like, scripting practice, like, some people are so anal about scripting practice and the look and, like, you know, playing scout team, like, yeah. you got the GA or the offensive analyst going, like, hey, you have to bite here on this, right, to create a window for that. Or, like, you know, if it's a safety, it's like if we're running a hard outside zone action, they'll tell the walk-on safety to, like, come down hard and run support, and then they throw the post over his head, right? I always hated that. I think it was cool, but because to your point, it never felt that way. It never looked that way. Like they exaggerated the look to be here, but really in the game, it's like you're making that decision here. Like if that safety just stops his feet for a second, you can throw it. Because like no starting safety on any action, no matter how good it is, it's going to run down 5 yards. Maybe. But it very rarely happens. And when it happens, it's like, holy shit. A lot of it is just, do you create that half a second of hesitation? That half second of hesitation gives your guy a step or two, and that's how you make the throw. With that being said, the one thing I loved, I don't know if you remember this. Mm-hmm. I loved this my freshman year with Billy, is even during game prep, we would still do good versus good for at least a period or two a day. Yeah. It was phenomenal. because you would literally, he'd go, Butler, call it. I'm going to call the offense. 20, 25 plays, let's go. And it was so good because now you're just incorporating looks and feels and you're competing, and it just gives you that fresh feeling throughout the year, right? Where it's like real speed. You're going against the starters. The starters are going to react a little bit different than a guy on cards. It was just so refreshing for me. And it just, my eyes, like when I was looking and seeing things, my eye discipline, the windows, those types of things were just so much more clear when the lights came on, just because of that, those 20, 30 reps a week. It was big, man. And I'm a big proponent of that. Like if you got the depth to do it, which I think we do, like that good versus good, go at it, like spring ball mentality, even into the season. You know, you obviously got to feel it out. You know what I mean?
You're not tackling, but
yeah,
full speed. This is how you practice as a pro. College coaches talk about all the time, be a pro. College kids don't know what that means. We didn't know what it means until you get to the pros and it's like, yo, this is practice.
Yeah.
We're going to go hard for as hard as you can for maybe, 10 steps. Everything after that, it's, we're not going to the ground. Everyone's staying up. If you're an athlete, you stay on your feet. No one gets hurt. But we need this high intensity rep as high as we can get without anyone getting hurt to get prepared for Sunday, where it's as high as intensity as in the world, And that's the kind of development these guys need. And to your point about, the safeties coming down, it's not going to be 5 yards. The point you made last week, these cupcake games where maybe you get that in the beginning of the season, and we saw this past year, even guys, Delaware, guys aren't biting on fakes. These athletes are only getting more or only getting better no matter what school, what level of competition. So to your point, that is big. I mean, the look is never going to be clear cut ever in your life. And when it is, it's a mistake.
Yeah. Like it's like that happens like 4 times a year, man. And when it does, you're like, oh my God. But most of it is so reactionary. And it's like, you're really looking at little finite things. Like it's like you come off that fake, you snap your head around. Is that safety's eyes in the backfield? And did he stop his feet? Are his feet in mud? If his feet are in mud, I'm throwing it, because he's got to flip his hips and get back to full speed. Unless he's Ed Reed, not many guys are making that play.
Right.
So, especially with the guys that you have outside that can run too. You know what I mean? If you throw it to the right spot, like it's just tough for them to make that play. You got a baseball turn and all that shit. So, it's such a highly critiqued thing, man. It eats me up all the time talking about it, because I know what all these guys are going through, and there's some things that need to be said, and most of the things that need to be said, they already know.
Right.
But I just think, like, as fans, as a fan base, even as Letterman, like looking at it going into spring ball, like get up there, get a feel for it, see what you're looking at, like just evaluate what you're watching. And I think most of the development, especially in that room, is more of the intangible side than it is the tangible. And then, like I said, there's some onus on the coaching staff to ensuring that they're continuing to put those guys, form an identity and then put them in positions to be successful. And then if you're not if you're not producing, that's when the conversations come up. But, ultimately season in review, man, a lot to be said, a lot of positives, some negatives, but the negatives got a lot more eyeballs and attention than I think the positives did. And, unfortunately that's part of the deal. But I just think, like, chill pill, let's evaluate and see what happens. And ultimately, week 3, 4, I think we'll really see what type of trajectory he's on from a development standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also what I love about it, and love hearing that from you. God has been through it, literally firsthand experience. Is now we get to see, we get to see how he takes on that pressure, and whether you use it for, benefit, or you let it get to you. And as we said, seems like he has all the ingredients in his DNA to, benefit from it, but we get to watch it, and it'll be fun to watch. And at the other end of the day, we're rooting for the kid.
Yeah.
Rooting for everyone on the squad, and obviously the success leans a little bit more on his shoulders than many others, but it's a team game, and excited to see these guys come together. And ultimately, I know we'll talk more about spring game when we get there, close we get, but kind of leave it off. Are there anything you'd like to see? It's going to be vanilla, as it always is, but how can you grade spring ball based off of that room that we just spoke about?
I mean, I think the spring game is going to be a microcosm of it. You know, I think you really have to be up there throughout the development and rollout of spring ball. You got to get to a couple practices to really see what's happening. Cause I think that's where you're going to see the biggest, the largest amount of data to see the growth and just reps and throws and confidence and body language and stuff like that. Like the spring game is just such a microcosm. It's similar to they've become, you know, shows, spectacles. There's 90,000 people there, 100,000 people there. It's another game basically. So it's just about creating hype, and you want to see those things go smooth. You see teams slightly loaded. You see certain things. You want to, like I said, you kind of want to, it wants to just be crisp, clean. It's almost like a Friday walkthrough. That's your favorite for the spring game. So, like, my eyes aren't necessarily, as a letterman, just because we get the access, aren't going to be on the spring game. I'm going to go up there. We're going to have fun. We do got a cool announcement coming. I think you guys are going to be excited about that. I'm going to keep it on the down low right now. But we do got a pretty cool excitement and a little partnership coming. So State Media will be up there in force, bringing you guys some cool stuff with a few partners that we're excited about. So get back to what I'm saying. I'll be there. You know, I'll drink a couple beers, be excited to watch it. But, you know, I'm going to try to get up for a couple practices throughout the spring because I think that's really where you're going to see – be able to make real assumptions about where things are headed.
Yeah. No, man, I attest to that. It's exactly the same. Looking forward to it. And I also got to give you a shout-out. Is that a Galloway hat?
Yes, sir.
Galloway, New Jersey, the great town in which young B-Bell was born at the hospital in Galloway, New Jersey.
Come on. Yeah. I was actually, I think it was last week or a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I was with Grant and Say. We played Galloway. There's another cool thing coming that I think we're going to help announce with that. But, Galloway, it's a great track, great town, shore town right there, kind of close. I consider it a shore-ish town, Bayside town. Yeah. But I like it down there.
Shout out to Galloway. Shout out to Mays Landing. As Galloway is actually at least it used to be, I don't know what it is now, our rival high school, Absagami High School down there. So a lot of love in Galloway, family down there.
There you go.
Haven't touched the golf courses yet, but that'll come sooner or later.
Yeah, like we said, we've been talking about that. We'll get you out there, man. Get you out there going. I think that puts a button on it, B. That puts a button on the show.
Yeah.
Good one this week. We're going to keep it going. Excited for spring ball, excited for combine. Well, not combine prep, but draft prep. We'll talk some more guys, maybe get a little bit more in depth into some games, some film breakdowns on some short form series. But ultimately, staying current, man, talking the big things that we got to talk about, what's going on at Penn State. You know, make sure you're checking in, dialing in with Mercury. We got other channels, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Kansas. If you're into that, you can check all those out. They're all kind of tagged underneath the Mercury, the College Sports Co. on a lot of our social tags. And then make sure you're following State Media. As always, like and subscribe, all this stuff on YouTube. It always helps us out, helps you out to bring you guys more content, more special giveaways, more things of that nature. Check out the merch store. And that's enough for my rant in terms of checking out and following and liking and subscribing. But we do appreciate it as always. And feedback is something we always like to see. So make sure you hit the comments, the mentions, and so on and so forth. Did I miss anything, B?
No, man. Spot on per usual. Looking forward to hearing from you guys. And as you said, keep the feedback coming. Let us know some guests you'd like to hear from. We'll do our due diligence and reach out. Hopefully get some more former Letterman on here. Guys kind of date before us. We're always looking to kind of learn from and just hear from. So per usual, we'll take any considerations.
Love it. That's a wrap. And we are out.